Blog Talk Radio.
Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let you, and you, let us all exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on to get together on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be greatly, greatly blessed on today. Watch God bless you. We have a beautiful lesson. I have a lesson on today in regards to the evangelist Philip. And again, we're talking about the character of God's people. And let's take a look at Philip and his life. And so I'm going to ask if you would join with me over in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. And we're going to look at scriptures number 5 through 8. And then also we're going to look also in the same book of Acts, chapter number 8, verses 26 down to verse number 35. And we're going to look at our background scriptures as we look further into the word of the Lord on today. And let us just pray. Father, we just take this time to bind the devil. We bind the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every emissary of the adversary that will want to come up against the word of God and even, Lord, the voice and the pronunciation and even giving and the flow of your word from these lips of clay. We ask, O God, that your sovereign will be done, and we take authority over every dark thing that is not like you. And we thank you, and we bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's take a look here at the lesson on today. It said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that was lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. Now, verses number 26 down to verse number 35 in the same book, chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of an Ethiopian and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare the generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now let's take a look at Acts in the same chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And it reads on this line, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, let's take a look at the life of Philip as he encapsulated the life of a child of God through his progressive stage of growth, even in service as well as in ministry. And coming from this particular lesson, you're going to gain a better understanding about growth in service as well as in ministry, because God wants us to be progressive, constantly moving forward in growth and even in our service in these capacity, service as well as ministry. And so let's take a look at the life of Philip and what we can glean from as we contextualize it for the relevancy for today's living. Now, Jesus gave his apostle a great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you see that over in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Now, a lot of time when we look here at the scripture, sometimes people, they stop at the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but they also must continue to as well as to embrace what he told his disciples. And it was the disciples at that time, and after which they was called the apostles. It said, the teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And so there's other things that God had commanded, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commanded the apostle to do even after he'd given this particular scripture. And we'll take a look at that at another time, but let's take a look at Philip's life. Fulfilling the commission would be impossible without the gift of God to give to the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some preachers, pastors, and teachers, Ephesians 4 and 11. Through the scripture empowerment, however, the objective of the evangelism is also achievable. Now, the evangelist Philip was first of all called to be a saint, then a server, then a spreader of the good news or the gospel. And as children of God and as a saint, he lived a godly life, amplifying loyalty, faithfulness to the body of Christ, to the apostles, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, his integrity and spiritual maturity stood out in the crowd of believers and causing him to be chosen as one of the seven men to wait on the table. But he did not move, and he did more than just serve tables, but he began to spread the gospel, which brought many souls into the kingdom of God. Now, let us look at Philip the saint. Let's look at him and things and get an understanding. Now, the word saint appears frequently both in the Old and the New Testament. The Greek word for saint means to be a pure, physically pure and morally blameless or religious or ceremonially consecrated, an ideal for which every true child of God strives to be morally blameless and physically pure before the Lord our God. Now, Paul wrote to the Philippians, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. You'll see that over in Philippians 4:21. Truly, every committed believer in the local church is called to be a saint. Our first glimpse of Philip was as a saint in Jerusalem's church. Now, let's look further in Acts chapter 6, verses 3-5. The apostles selected seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, Acts 6 and 3, to help address some needs within the early church. One of the men chosen was Philip. Let's take a look at this. The church in Jerusalem was a growing revival church. After the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the early church exploded with growth. From the initial 3,000 souls, God added to the church daily until it was thought that the church in Jerusalem numbered between 25,000. Now, let's look further at another point. Philip was an active member of the local church. It appeared from the scriptural setting that out of the thousand of believers, Philip's zeal and faith and involvement stood out in the crowd so that the others could not help but notice. Pastors noticed and appreciate the child of God who remains faithful to the cause of Christ. Thank God for people who do not abandon their faith, nor abandon their loyalty or their involvement during times of stress. Whether they contribute to an atmosphere of evangelism within the local church. Now, guests who visit a local church should encounter hospitable or hospitality, a loving atmosphere. And Peter said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. The use of hospitality one to another without grudging. And so here, Paul is admonishing us that we must give that hospitality even to each other as we come in and out of the house of the Lord. It's showing that love, showing that kindness to each and every one. Now, and you'll find that over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Let's take a look at the manifestation of godly love in the saints. It also kindles a desire even in the sinner to return, which facilitate the opportunity for Christ to love to draw them to repentance and the new birth experience. And so we must never forget, as we're growing and even as we're maturing, God wants us to continue to show hospitality and hospitable to each other, showing love, showing kindness, going out of our way to being a blessing and things of saying, even just saying hello, just even showing kindness and just appreciating that individual for who they are. And that's a duty of a child of God and things. It's comfortable to encourage and embrace those that we know, but here Paul is admonishing us that we must create an atmosphere of love among each other when we come together. Go out of your way to speak to someone. Go out of your way to converse with them and let them know and feel the love of God in your life, sharing it to the other person, and so that may draw someone. Now, let's look at Philip the servant. Now, believers in Jerusalem church were one in heart and mind. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 in the NIV translation. Now, many sold their possession and their houses and land, and they gave the proceeds to the apostle to distribute among those in need. As the church continued to grow, a dispute arose when the Hellenistic Jews murmured against the Hebraic Jews because the Greek thought that their riddles were not being taken care of, but being shortchanged in their daily distribution of food. And so the apostle solved the problem by appointing seven outstanding men, including Philip, to wait on table, so the apostle could devote themselves to prayer and study. Now, Philip was not appointed because of his drive or ambition to make a name for himself. Instead, his blameless reputation among the saints opened the doors for service. He served behind the scenes, not caring who received the credit as long as the work pleased the Lord. Now, that is the true mindset that God is calling for the children of God. When we serve, whether it's behind the scene or in the front, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. It's the main thing is that the Lord is pleased with the work that's being done. So let us work together just to get the job done and accomplished. And in God, it's not really about titles, but it's about us working in the kingdom of God, about charity, piety, showing true love one towards another in the house of the Lord and to the things of God for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God for souls to be saved. Now, let's look at supplying the simple needs. Now, often after a great move of the Holy Ghost, problems surface among the saints, and this occurred because of mankind's fallen nature. It is the responsibility of the ministry of the local church to resolve disputes and work towards solutions. Now, let's take a look at several points here. First of all, the physical needs often are the first opportunities of the evangelist. Our present social and society and culture is being swept out to sea in an embedded economic tide. Thousands stand in unemployment lines and look at economic assistance programs. People face lost jobs, home foreclosure, and other circumstances that make it harder for them to feed their family. And what a time for the church to raise up if it is in their means to do so and to reach out and help some of these people for the sake of reaching them with the gospel. When the church focuses on the needs of others, internal problems seem to evaporate. Now, let's take a look here. Now, the physical need often indicates spiritual problems. We live in a hurrying world. Our hospitals and clinics and jails and prisons scream at us that our world needs the gospel. Countless individuals suffer from alcoholism, addiction to local legal or illegal drugs, crimes, and violence. We cannot transform sinners into new creation in Christ Jesus, but the love of God working through us can do so. As soon as sinners allow Christ to transform them, they begin to experience a redemptive lift in their mind, in their spirit, and in their soul. As the material things such as the job and relationship and as well as one's health. Now let's look at the call to serve. Now, the call to serve in the kingdom of God constitutes a call to serve each other. Paul repeatedly referred to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at the qualification for the servant. Under the direction of the apostle, the early church in Jerusalem selected 7 men to wait on table. They needed to be appointed Holy Ghost filled individual who had and were of honest and wise to resolve dispute and deal fairly with people. Then also honesty was another qualification. The word honest simply means truthful, able to be trusted. In the recent time, a rush of dishonesty and lies that spread throughout many different agencies, and we see that on the uprise, just being honest and being truthful is key for the child of God. Such behavior isn't a reproach to even a nation and as a people who continue to forget God. Now, the church should be immune to these diseases. Honesty often should prevail in every aspect of a child of God's life when the person is filled with the Holy Ghost and is in communion and giving relationship and responsibility. In these fraudulent times, an honest person stands out and draws great attention. Let's look at another qualification. They must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Fully established believers in Jesus Christ have received the Holy Ghost, but not every believer continues to live in a way that is fully responsive to the guidance of the Spirit. Apparently, the apostle ideas of full of the Holy Ghost had to do with a believer living by the Spirit, following his guidance, and continually advancing and growing in relationship with Christ. Now, this was one of the standards by which they chose Philip and 6 other men to wait on the table. The apostle had prayed over them and laid their hands on them. This blessing of the apostolic authority helped the deacon to dissolve the contention so that the church could continue to grow. Now, that same thing is key and very important for the blessing of the apostolic authority to help someone and enable someone to move forward in the ministry that God has called them to do. Being honest, being full of the Holy Ghost, walking with the Holy Ghost, living in the Spirit, following the guidance of that, and allowing your relationship to advance and to grow in Christ. Now, when you begin to look at Colossians talks about the fact that we are in Christ and hid in Christ, and our life is in Christ Jesus. And as we continue to live in Christ, not outside of him, but in Christ, we're going to grow in relationship with Christ. We're going to grow in knowledge of Christ. We're going to grow even in our ability to serve in the kingdom of God. Now, let's look further. They also must be full of wisdom. Wisdom is simply the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong and truth and error. It was necessary for the 7 deacons to be full of wisdom. It is much more needful that we, in this present and even corrupt and perverse society, to exercise godly wisdom. And you can look over at the scripture over in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And he tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let us ask of God, who giveth liberally unto the child of God that asked of him. Now, let's look at another point that was going on about call to serve. Now, Philip, he was selected to serve as one of the seven. And you'll find that over in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. The saints in Jerusalem recognized these spirit-filled men as outstanding examples of honesty. The apostle concurred and endorsed their choice. Let's look at the qualification to serve. Now, in the church in Jerusalem, placed confidence in Philip. Though their fellowship and their worship with him, they knew he fulfilled and the apostolic requirement. They did not base their choice on talents nor natural ability. They based it on Philip's honesty, wisdom, and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in his life. Now, isn't that profound? As they based it upon these criteria. Now, let's look up further. The willingness to serve. Now, apparently, Philip did not scorn the work of waiting on table as being too trivial or menial. Philip submitted to the will of the Holy Ghost and served willingly and cheerfully. And I believe that this is an area that we must really take a look at, because a lot of times people want to be up front serving, up front leading and things, but they don't have a mind to even just serve the menial things or the behind the scenes, so that God can qualify them, that God can undergird them, God can fortify them, and God can strengthen them in the areas in which God is calling them. If you can't submit unto leadership, that's a problem. How can you submit unto someone you don't see, and you can't even submit unto the one that God has placed over you, who you see every day, whom God is using, God is speaking in and through to give you the guidance and direction, but your unwillingness to submit to the leadership? Yeah, we must examine ourselves, because that is key in the eyesight of God. Now, submitting willfully and cheerfully, this is the way it should be whenever the mantle of responsibility falls on the individual whom the local body of believers honors and trusts. Now, let's look further. Chosen and commissioned to serve. Now, following his selection by the church, Philip and six other men subjected themselves to the apostle, and who laid their hands on them and prayed over them. Whatever responsibility in the church may come to us, we should serve the Lord with integrity and faithfulness, and we should submit ourselves to the individual of authority in our lives. Further, we need the power of the Holy Ghost operating within. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. John 15 and verse number 5. Now, let's look at another as we move expeditiously. Further, let's look at another aspect, the blessing of serving. Now, the entertainment industry has fostered a generation that wants to be entertained while they merely sit and observe. It seems this spirit has crept even into the church as well, with the result that some believers do not worship, praise, or fellowship, sing, or even serve. They simply want to sit and watch and hear and be entertained. But that's not involved. Now, we must recognize that by God and other, the members of the local church body can recognize people who's consecrated their God-given talents and ability to the Lord and his cause. Now, we must recognize that that is very, very, very key. That thing that God has given to you, we must take it back to God and consecrate it and give it unto him. As these talents that you've given to me, God, I'm going to consecrate them back unto you. First of all, I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm going to consecrate my talents and give them back unto you. And that's something sometimes is not really being taught for people to recognize that that gift that God has given to you is for the house of God and things. And as you consecrate it and give it back to him and be faithful with it, God will bless you. as you give it to the cause of Christ. Yes, you may have a skill that you use even out in the secular world, and then you may have technical skills and things that is used as a career for your livelihood. You can take that same skill and say, God, I'm going to dedicate time, or I'm going to give time and things to help take my church to the next level in the technology area and aspect, and I'm going to consecrate this gift that you have so graciously given to me to help propel the gospel through technology or whatever area of gifting that God has so graciously blessed you with, to turn back and to give it and seed it back into the house of God to propel the gospel and the things of God further. So many times we see people who are all about themselves, what I'm going to get, what I'm going to get, what I'm going to do for myself. No, if you begin to learn how to consecrate what God has given to you back to the house of the Lord, God will open doors for you. God will make ways out of the no ways on your behalf, because we are making provision for the house of God. We're blessing the house of God with that which he's given unto us. And he's going to open the door and make a way out of no way and bless us with more opportunities to be a blessing. We must recognize the most important thing is God noticed. Now, these Christians will be used greatly to further the work of God, both in the local assembly and in the church, in the worldwide work of God. Often the local church is a place where the gift and the calling first become evident. Now let's look at another point. The second point, the spirit of revival will increase. Now as the seven deacons began to serve, and harmony and unity descended on the believers in a shower of the Lord's blessing, the word of the Lord increased, and the church experienced another great influx of converts. Sincerity, unity, and singleness of mind still brings the blessing of the Lord. And you can look at that and find that over in Psalms 133. So if you're asking God, what can I do? Well, keep that sincere heart and that mind and the singleness of mind of working together in unity and harmony and serving and things, of propelling the gospel forward. Maintain that in your heart and mind, and watch God do some great things in and through your life, because you are being that example. And if each individual decides to be an example and begin to model and live the Christian disciplines, God will bless you, and others will look upon you and say, well, I want to be like them, because I can see Christ moving in their life, because they have chosen to be an example of the believer, so that God can use their life in a mighty and a special way, as opposed to trying to make a name for yourself. Now let's take a look further. The needs met in the congregation. Soon after the deacon began to serve, contention and scorn vanished, and the fragrance of peace and fellowship began to permeate the atmosphere. This freed the apostle to turn their attention to prayer and ministry of the word. The church still needs people who are willing to work behind the scenes to foster unity and fellowship. This frees the pastor to pray and study and consecrate themselves to God, so that they will be able to apply godly wisdom to problems that arise in the church. A good example of this was seen in the Old Testament. Crowds of Israelites besieged Moses every day from morning until evening, and loading their disputes and demanding satisfaction. Moses grew more and more frustrated as he tried to sort everything out judicially. Now, when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, visited, he was troubled by the incessant demand on Moses' time and as well as his energy. Jethro suggested to a hierarchy of leaders who would have charge over 10, 50, hundreds, and thousands. Seeing the wisdom of his father-in-law's advice, Moses trained men to serve as judges, and when the low-ranking judges encountered a problem he could not solve, he appealed up the chain of the command. Thus, everyone's need was met, and Moses dealt with a problem only when it had baffled the four leaders in the particular chain of the command, and you'll see that over in Exodus chapter number 18. Now, let's look at the advancement in the ministry. The scripture first mentioned Joshua in Exodus 17:9, when Moses put his him in charge of the battle against the Amalek. This battle served as a field of training for the future conquest of Canaan. In Exodus 24 and 13, Moses took his minister Joshua up to the Mount of God, where Joshua waited while Moses received the law. In Exodus 33 and 11, Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle. He knew the importance of bathing in the presence of God. On the threshold of Canaan, Moses, at the command of the Lord, chose Joshua to serve as one of the 12 spies. And when the people of Israel bathed at the Jordan rivers, however, it cost Joshua 40 years of waiting to serve in the capacity for which he had been groomed for. Now, the Lord instructed Moses to set Joshua before Eleazar, the priest, and before the congregation, and gave him a charge. And when Moses laid his hand on Joshua, the younger man received the spirit of wisdom and some of the honor that belonged to Moses. It was another step toward Joshua's leadership over Israel. And you'll see that in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 18 through 23, Deuteronomy 34 and 9. Even though Joshua knew he had been commissioned to inherit the highest level of leadership, he still served Moses faithfully and willingly until the day of Moses' death. And you'll see that over in Deuteronomy 1, 38, in verses chapter 34, verses 5 through verses number 9. So it is important, even when you move in leadership, is always to respect that leader that have gone before you and that have groomed you and think, look how Moses and Joshua was a great example, how Moses blessed and commanded a blessing onto Joshua, and he knew that he was going to be the next one that was going to be coming to lead. But Joshua, he came back into subjection up under and submitted himself to the authority of Moses. And that's key, child of God, as you're moving forward. Stay committed, because your time will come. That door will be open. But it's key to know how to walk and to maintain yourself until the appointed time and not the appointment. Amen? It said, when the book of Joshua begins, the Lord finally spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, arise, go over this Jordan. And see, now he have received the appointed time. Joshua received it because God spoke to him and said, arise and go over this Jordan. It was the time to step into the role for which he was given and had been prepared and commissioned to do. When individuals give themselves diligently to fulfill the responsibility with which they have been entrusted in the local church, he will be rewarded and promoted. A person who is more willing to be used will be used more. The Lord rewards faithful individuals. Now let's look further. Philip the evangelist, another table waiter, was Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 6, verses number 8. His preaching aroused opposition, and the mob, the Jews, arrested him and dragged him before the Sanhedrin. And as their leaders listened to Stephen's defense, the conviction made them boil with rage, and they ordered that he would be dragged outside the city at the gates and to be stoned to death. This was the beginning of a period of great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. However, even in this did not stop the spread of the gospel. As the saints gathered everywhere throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, they preached the word of the Lord. Instead of being overthrown by the opposition, there was a great revival that was taking place. Even the persecution could not even fan it or stop it from spreading forth into the regions and the places where God wanted it to go. Now, Philip, he also preached in Samaria. He left Jerusalem along with the flood of saints trying to escape persecution. However, he went in faith and not in fear. Sometime later, he came to Samaria where he preached concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. with one accord. The inhabitants of that city took Philip preaching to heart. Now Philip ministered throughout the town, and everywhere he went, signs and wonders followed him, and miracles. Unclean spirits fled the individual that they had dominated. Lame people walked and leapt and praised God. Palsy people grew steadily. Many repentant individuals flocked to Philip to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sin. A swelling tide of joy and gladness filled the city. No one, not even Simon, the sorcerer, had even seen anything like it. The sorcerers responded by being baptized and afterward followed Philip everywhere, marveling at the evangelist's seemingly mystical power. However, something was missing in the Great Samaritan Revival. In spite of the miracle, the baptism, and the joy, none of the Samaritans had yet received the Holy Ghost. Soon, the news of the revival in Samaria filtered south to the apostles in Jerusalem, and they sent Peter and John to support the revival. And when Peter and John laid their hands on the baptized Samaritan, they received the Holy Ghost. And so you see how God was moving mightily. And then Acts chapter 8 does not state that the Samaritan spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And then, however, Simon the sorcerer saw what happened when believers received the Holy Ghost, and he was amazed. And this seemed to him to be the most phenomenal trick of all. Clearly, he saw the dynamic evidence of the Spirit infilling, and he desired to the same ability. Evidently, what he saw was the believers speaking in tongues that the Spirit gave them evidence of the entrance into the individual's heart. Simon called Peter and John aside and urged them, God gave me also this power, and that on whosoever I lay hand, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8 and 19. Now Peter rebuked the sorcerer vehemently and said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if he perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts chapter 8, verses 21 and through 22. Simon the sorcerer's wrong motive and lack of sincerity and his wish to grab the limelight disparaged him of a chance to participate even in the ministry. So here his motive of wanting just the limelight, and I've seen a lot of people that just want the limelight. They don't want to serve in their local church, but they want to jump up in the front of people and a large multitude of people and begin to serve, but don't want to be faithful even in their local church or local assembly. And that's what will cancel out your blessing and your opportunities in ministry. If you can't serve in your local church, God is wondering in his mind and things that you, if you can't be faithful over a few things, I can't make you ruler over many and things, but we must be found faithful in our local church. His character looked like a dirty smudge in contrast to the purity of Philip's character. And again, it goes back down to the character of an individual. Now, let's look at Philip preached to the eunuch. Now, God interrupted Philip's mighty revival in Samaria and sent him to a strange mission. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south into the way that thou goest down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is a desert. Now, look at here. Now, Philip, he was just at the high of the peninsula of this particular great revival, the highest point of it. And then God said, look, I'm going to take you and snatch you out of there. I'm going to send you now into a place, a desert place. And thing, but his willingness and his integrity to go where God sent them. And many times people don't want to go to the desert places and preach and teach. They want to go to the place where there's a prominency. But God is calling us to go where he tells us to go, to do what he wants us to do in ministry, because it's him using our lives. Now, this meant a track of over 40 miles. Philip did not know what to expect, but he started walking south to Jerusalem and then southward on the road of Gaza. As Phyllis drug along, he looked up and saw through the glimmer of the heat a dust cloud stirred up by the wheels of a chariot. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, and Philip broke into a run. Unaware of Philip, the man in the chariot sat reading aloud from the scroll of Isaiah. And his expensive clothes testify of the fact that he had a prestigious position in the governments of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to worship and to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And now his rumbling chariot was pointed towards home. The prophet Isaiah words touched his heart, but at the same time puzzled him. Who was the subject of this prominent prophetic word? He was in the middle of the 53rd chapter when the commotion at the side of his chariot startled him. A stranger jogging alongside of the chariot called aloudly, do you understand what you're reading? Acts chapter 8, verses 30. The Ethiopian responds, how can I unless anyone explain it to me? He ordered the driver to stop and invited Philip into the chariot. And Philip began with Isaiah 53 and preached Jesus Christ to the Ethiopian, whose heart leapt with faith at Philip's word. Turning his head, he spotted an oasis and asked Philip to baptize him, with which Philip did gladly. A miracle of divine direction placed the evangelist Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch together on the road to Gaza because God recognized the hunger of the Ethiopian soul. He still recognized hungry souls today, and he worked miracles to reach them. Now, Philip was just as excited about this one convert as he had been about the tremendous revival in Samaria. However, he did not get to enjoy his new friend's fellowship for long. The Spirit suddenly called him away. While the Ethiopian continued on his way home in his chariot, Philip experienced a supernatural ride to a city on the coastal road. Now, let's take a look further at Philip. And then Philip, he preached in every city on the way to Caesarea. And Philip was also a spiritual elder. The next mention of Philip appeared in Acts chapter 21, verses 8, realizing the book of Acts covered a period of 60 years. Perhaps by this time, Philip was a seasoned minister, and apparently he had a home in Caesarea, for Paul, the evangelist, stayed there for a while. Now, let's take a look further here at the universal call to evangelism. Now, the highest calling in the present life is to be a saint of the Most High. What a calling, Paul wrote. To all that are enrolled in the beloved of God, called to be a saint, grace be unto you, the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. God commanded every person to repent and grant salvation to everyone who will answer the call. After the initial new birth experience, God continued to call every saint higher to a higher service, especially those that inhibit faithfulness, zeal, and a servant heart, similar to Philip. These willing people are entrusted with a greater responsibility and broader ministry. Now, Philip, also, Paul often designated himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and likewise, every believer should be his servant. We should submit to his servanthood without despising the call or ignoring it. God noticed the individual who will serve the roles to the best of their ability with all their heart. When he sees they can be trusted with a small responsibility, he calls them for a larger one. Now, because of the martyrdom of Philip, Stephen, and the subsequent persecution of Saul of Tarshish, the members of the early church that were scattered abroad were everywhere. The word of God was being able to be preached. And such as it is, God sometimes scattered us so that we can preach and share forth the word of God. And he's calling all believers to preach the word to all the receptive heart. Even in your own location, you preach the word, share the word of the Lord. And so there are qualifications to belonging to the bride of Christ. We must exercise our new births by repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus and receiving the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. And this salvation of the great gift was received from God. Now, the role of the evangelist is not reserved for the preachers only. We all can be that evangelist working in things and sharing in that fervent spirit and being faithful to the call of reaching souls for Christ.